Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Let's turn to 2 Kings. I'm going to be honest with you this evening. I really had a couple messages. I preached this morning, and I had another one in 2 Kings out of the same text I was going to preach tonight, and I really kind of thought that I'd just preach the one I hadn't preached yet. You know what I mean? But then that, boys, I got the call, got the thinking, and it just seemed like the Lord wanted me to preach this again. Miss Megan's heard it, amen? But it'll be new to y'all, and I hope it'll help you, amen? That's the goal. I come to help you. And any preacher, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is helping people, amen? If you'll stand to your feet, the reverence reading God's Word, I'm going to read these first 14 verses, and I'm going to give you the thought tonight. And then we'll go home. The Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5. I guess I should have said that earlier. That helped you, wouldn't it? Amen. I told you I'm nervous now. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man and with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by the companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Verse number 5, the king said the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? And this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy. Wherefore, consider, pray you, and see how he seeketh quarrel against me." I'm not going to preach on this, but to kind of just give you kind of a side thought right there. I was reading this morning. The Lord just kind of gave it to me. You know, as a Christian, that's the king of Israel. He's supposed to know the God of heaven. And, they come to him. He comes with a problem. And the first thing he does is worry about how it's going to affect him, what's going to happen to him about it, and how he can't got nothing to do with it. And what he should have been doing is like that little maid is. "I know somebody, and I can send you to. I know a God in heaven that can fix your problem." And if we ain't careful as Christians, we'll let our situation think this thing's about us. But can I tell you this evening, this thing's bigger than we are. And as we're ones that know God, we ought to point people to God. Amen? Let's look here in verse number 8. "It was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now unto me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth," now notice that, "and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought,'" that's his problem, "he said, 'I thought he would surely come out to me, and said, and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And are not the Albania and the Farfar," I think I said that, "the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. And the servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then when he downed and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." This evening I'd like to preach on this real quick on the thought of Naaman's cleansing. Naaman's cleansing. If you go with me in prayer, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to you this evening. I sure do need your help, Lord God, now. I pray, Father, you'd calm my nerves, Lord God. Let me say everything you had me say. Nothing, Lord God, you don't want me to say, Father. Everything I say, I hope gives glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, there may be one amongst us lost and undone. I pray, Father, you'd save them. And then may this be one, Lord, bouncing on the fence on serving God and getting in. And I pray, God, you'd nudge them over and get them to come to you and give their life to you in service. Father, we do love you. I thank you for these good people. Thank you for this good church. I pray, God, you use me now, Father, to help them. Anoint me, Lord, in the Holy Ghost of God. Let me be what you had me be. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Again, I want to talk or preach a little bit tonight on the thought of Naaman's cleansing. Naaman's cleansing. Now, I want you to see, number one, Naaman had an unseen condition. If we'll look at who Naaman is and what kind of his role here, man, the Bible tells us right out of the bat he's a great man with his master. That means that his king highly esteemed him. He was expected. He was adored by the king. And matter of fact, it goes on, he's honorable. That means he was honored and exalted. And the people liked him. The people looked up to him. He was a leader there. He was a man mighty in valor. In other words, he was a soldier among soldiers. Amen. He was the type of man that no doubt went on the battlefield. The enemy saw it and thought, oh man, there's Naaman. There he is. He's a great soldier. And the king no doubt would look up there and say, yeah, he's on my team. Yeah, he's the one that's going to come fight. And no doubt there was a lot of pride. People loved their Naaman there in Syria. They lifted him up. But the Naaman had a problem that really I don't think nobody knew outside of Naaman and his wife. And you see there at the end of verse number 1, he said, but he was a leper. And if we look back there, I believe around verse number 11 or so, when he's talking about Elisha coming out, he made this comment. He said, if Elisha would have put his hand over that spot, which almost leads me to believe this, that maybe that piece of leprosy had not grown, it had not spread like we would think of, and then it was something he could hide, something he could put over. And I would see every morning as he'd get up, maybe he'd look in the mirror and that'd be that spot of leprosy there, and he'd look at it, but he'd put on them clothes, and he'd put on his breastplates, he'd put on them armored things, and he'd walk out there shined up and looking good, and it's nobody in the country, hey, would see that he had that leprosy problem. Nobody knew what was really going on behind the scenes. Hey, but every day, listen to me, he'd come right back home and he'd take that armor off and he'd take those shirts off and he'd sit there and get ready for bed. And he'd look over in that mirror, but there was that spot. There was that same spot, boy. Hey, what I'm trying to say is he might have fooled the outside world. Everybody outside might have looked at him and thought, friend, that man's a man among men. He's my hero. I want to be like him. Hey, but when he got home, he still realized he had a problem. He had something going on that was going to end up killing him. It was going to end up defiling him, messing his life up. Hey, but he could keep it hid from a little while. And let me tell you this morning, leprosy, man, is a great picture of sin. It's a great picture in the Bible of something that will defile us. As a matter of fact, if you're going to Leviticus there in verse chapter 13, in verse number 3, we find out, friend, that leprosy is deeper than the skin. In Leviticus 13:7, we find out that leprosy will spread. In Leviticus 13 and 45, we find out that it defiles. And in Leviticus 13 and 46, we find out that it isolates. But in Leviticus 13 and 52, we find out that its place is in the fire. Amen? And you say, what are you trying to say? Man, that's sin, friend. And what I'm trying to preach tonight is this picture that's laid before us. If you've got somebody that looks good, he looks right, the whole world thinks everything's okay with him, but really and honestly, down deep inside, hey, he's got something going on deeper, hey, than he knows. He's got something defiling him, something that's going to spread over him, hey, something that's going to isolate him. And if he don't deal with it, friend, it's going to lead him to a fire. And can I say this evening, to get our picture look right, hey, I've known a lot of people that wear a suit, and I've saw a lot of people that's dressed right, and they're on the church on a Sunday morning, and they may even be here on a Sunday night, and man, everything in their life looks good, they've got a Bible under their arm, they're faithful, they tithe, they do, and I'm telling you, they've hid it from the preacher, they've hid it from the husband or the wife, they've hid it from the community, they've hid it from everybody, hey, but when they lay down at bed, night. Hey, the truth of the matter is there's something in their life that just ain't right. There's something in there that's not been dealt with. And listen to me this evening. You may hide it from the preacher and he may never know. You may hide it from the husband and the wife and he may never know. Hey, the church, they may never know what's going on under that armor and that stuff you shine up and put on. But you listen, friend, God knows. God knows who's his. Hey, can I tell you this evening, I believe in just any minute, a trump of God could sound. Hey, just any second, friend, he'd come back and get us. And I wouldn't want to be sitting on a pew with a problem under good gospel preaching that I just had too much pride to deal with. Can I say to you tonight, man, leprosy is such a picture of sin. And here Naaman, man, everybody thought was fine. Hey, but the truth of the matter is, Naaman had an unseen problem. The world didn't see it, but God did. Amen, friend. I want you to see, not that he had an unseen problem, but friend, can I tell you this? He had some unique circumstances. Number one, in the middle of all this, Naaman found a unique, he found some unique compassion. You say, what are you talking about? Well, Naaman's a man of war. Naaman is the leader of the army there. And we'll find in verse number 2 that the Syrians had gone out by companies. They had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now here, out in the middle of the picture, it just seems kind of obscure and don't mean a lot. And we don't know her name. But can I tell you something? I believe this is one of the greatest pictures of service in all the Bible. And can I tell you today, if y'all fall out with me, fall out with me. But if somebody come and got me and tried to carry me away from my family, hey, listen, I'm just going to die fighting. Somebody say amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you do, listen, I'm fat because you can't handicap or you can't kidnap a fat person. Somebody say amen. It's a defense mechanism. But let's just say you was to come get me, amen, and you dragged me off and you got me in another country and you've probably killed my parents. If I was a woman, that is, you probably killed my parents, you probably killed my husband, and you just took over and you've left me all alone, and all I got left is just that. I'm gonna tell you how I am, all right? I'm gonna be the one trying to figure out how to poison you. I'm gonna be the one trying to lead a revolt. Hey, they'll get back out back home. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm that kind of person. Hey, but I see a woman right here and nobody knows her name and nobody knows who she is. She's been dealt a hand that a lot of us would say was unfair. No doubt she grew up and all she wanted to do was get married. Hey, no doubt she grew up. She wanted a husband and have some babies and live a good life. But that wasn't the hand she was dealt. But I tell you what, I don't see her doing. I don't see her talking about it. I don't see her complaining about it. I see her just falling right in. Hey, for the will of God in her life, and she loved a man that I would have hated. Amen. And you say that's a strong word. Listen, you come here and kill my family, I'm borderline going to hate you. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I ain't got that worked out yet. Amen. I'm still living in the flesh a little bit there. But we see this woman here. Notice she's fall right into service. She's taking care of his wife. And boy, I'm gonna tell you, every day he comes home, the whole world thinks everything's fine. But boy, I'm gonna tell you something. God let her be in a place to get some insight on some problems in Naaman's life. And boy, he'd take that armor off and put it up, and he'd take that coat off and put it up, and she'd look over there and she'd see that spot of leprosy. And I want you to see what she says in verse number 3. Her heart begins to break, and she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of this leprosy." Notice this, what he is saying when it says, "Would God, my Lord," what she's saying is, oh, how I wish. Oh, I wish God would let me go there. I wish you could get to that man of God. I wish you could live there. Hey, I'm telling you, what she's saying is this, Christian. I know somebody that can take care of your problem. I see what you're fighting with. I saw what you're doing. Hey, but I love you enough to tell you, there's a man in Samaria that knows how to get a hold of God. Hey, there's a man in Samaria that knows how to get a hold of God, how to heal your problems, and to make everything all right. I'm telling you, she's a witness into a man. He found some compassion. Yeah, man. Can I tell you what we ought to have, friends? Listen now. I'm not going to hit on this long, but if we ain't careful, we'll put our nose up at the drunkard, and we'll put our nose up at the drunk addict, the dope addict, and we'll walk right by. Hey, can I tell you, don't get nervous now, but God died for them. It's like he died for you. Amen. And I'm telling you, hey, we need to have compassion. That Bible said over in Jude, I reckon it's there about verse 22. Hey, some making a difference. Hey, having compassion. Some having compassion making a difference. Compassion to help you, friend. Now, I'm going to get to it, but notice, see, the one example of the Lord. We go into Luke in chapter 23, man. He's been beat. He's been spit upon. According to Psalm 22, his bones are looking out at him. He can see inside of him there. They beat him unmercifully. According to Isaiah, he's marred beyond recognition. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They've nailed him to a cross. And he gets up there, and the first thing he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What compassion that he has. Ain't you glad he's got compassion on a sinner friend? Ain't you glad, thank God, hey, when all's lost and you don't know what to do, there's one that says, Father, forgive them, friend. I find it better that you go on into Acts chapter 2. Man, Peter has stood up. And boy, he's preaching like forky lightning, amen. But notice what Peter says in verse 23 of Acts 2. And him, being delivered by determinate counsel and full knowledge of God. Notice this. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He's talking to a bunch of Jews. And no doubt, they, I doubt in my mind, this is the same group of Jews and just a few weeks prior that was saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And Peter stands up and preaches that Jesus crucified, buried, and rose again. And 3,000 of them same people get born again. I'm talking about he found some unique compassion. If you're here today, friend, you're worried about what everybody else thinks, listen to me. You'll find compassion when you get to God. Yeah, man, that's exactly right. I see there's some unique compassion. I'm going to see this. That unique compassion, he goes to it, makes a unique call. You say, what do you mean? That compassion led Naaman to do something out of the ordinary. It led him to do something I find quite strange. Hey, can I tell you that Syria and Israel, they're enemies, friend. Hey, they don't get along. He just went in and captured some of them. Matter of fact, the maiden we just talked about, hey, is a slave that he's captured out of war. You say, what's that got to do with anything? I just find it kind of odd that by the time you get to verse 5, Naaman has got the witness from that little girl and said, hey, you know a man, I gotta go. Well, tell me how to get there. Tell me where he's at. And he runs over there to the king of Syria, and he said, hey, I got to go. I've got a problem, and this man can fix it. Can I tell you, friend, that's a weird thing to call. I mean, he's going, listen to what I'm saying, he's going to the enemy to get fixed. He's going to the place that he's already been bombarding and killing folks. He finds himself going right back, hey, to get the help that he needs. Now, don't get nervous, but the Bible said before you were saved, it was enmity between you and God. Hey, you was your father, the devil, amen. But I'm going to tell you what happened to me. Hey, when a good gospel preacher stood up one day and told me about some compassion and a God had, hey, that was bigger than me, that loved me, and I was unlovable, and I found myself doing something I never thought I would, calling on a God to save my soul. Can I tell you, friend, I've saw people that said they don't believe in God. I've saw people that said that God can't save them. And I'm telling you what, hey, when they get there, they find out the enemy, he ain't the enemy that you think he is. That compassion made a unique call. But let me just see this. There was a unique charge. Unique charge. He gets to the king, and the king throws a little hissy fit there, and Elisha hears it and says, now, this is in the original. He said, just send a boy down here for a minute. Just send him on down here. I got something I can do, and he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. So he shows up down there. We know down about verse 8, I guess it is, or verse 11 or so. No, it is verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 10. I'll get it right in a minute. Somewhere between 8, 10, 9, somewhere in there. You know what I'm saying? Now, in verse 10, he gets there, and he's got his horse, his buggy. He's got all his money with him. He's got his change of raiment. And, boy, he shows up there to the man of God's house. Now, can I remind you, this guy's a Gentile. They're serving what is essentially Baal, just in another country, or Rephidim, whatever. So he shows up to call on a God he don't even know. But he shows up. And he gulps up there, that man of God, and he said, well, you know, hey, I'm here and everything. And Elisha never comes out of the house. He just sends a servant. He said, tell him going down there about Jordan, tell him washing that thing 7 times, and his flesh will come back, he'll be clean. It's all going to be fine. What seemed kind of like a weird thing. I'm sure he's took a bath in the last little bit. Somebody say amen. That just seems kind of odd. It's a charge. It's unique. But can I tell you something? The charge wasn't a charge that had anything to do with the water. It wasn't the charge that had anything to do with what any kind of miracle thing. What it had to do with is if he's going to believe God or not. It had to do with faith, and it had to do with if he was just going to do it, what God wanted him to do. Hey, can I tell you something, friend? The unique charge we've got today is that you're going to get saved one way only, and that's by grace through faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ done. And what you see, Naaman is the guy I went to college with. He really is. His name is Naaman, and I've been picking on Megan. I'm going to say it 100 times. I wouldn't go to college with a Naaman, like Simon with an amen. But Naaman here. Naaman shows up, and he comes out there, and he gives him simple instructions. I want you to understand something, that this wasn't something hard that he couldn't do. I mean, all he had to do was go to the River Jordan and get in it 7 times. That's it. It wasn't hard. It was not complicated. It was a specific charge. It had to be the River Jordan. He couldn't go by the creek bank on the way back home. He couldn't go by the fishing spot. He had to go to the River Jordan. And it was a task, again, that was in his ability to do. It wasn't something too hard. It wasn't something that he couldn't do. He finds himself going to Jordan, and all he had to do was go and wash. That was it. And you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, God, for salvation, is not putting something on you so burdensome you can't do. It's real simple. Call unto me. Amen. That's it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it shall be saved. Can I tell you this morning, it's just one way to do it, and it's well within your ability today. Hey, you ain't got to walk out them doors thinking, that's just too hard for me. I don't know what he expects out of me. As a matter of fact, if you'll take Romans 10, when he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it shall be saved. The very next thing said, how can he call on what he has not believed? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, you start believing right, you'll be surprised what comes out of your mouth. Yeah, man. You say, listen, I let my little boy, I ain't taught him how to pray, I mean, like that. Son, he got to confessing sin. I'm telling you, it was like he'd been praying for 50 years. You know why? Because he did some believing. Yeah, man. That's where it goes, man. And can I say to you now, there's a unique charge, and we got the same one. Oh, that old jailer runs in there in Acts 16. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, well, now, you know, you think on there a little bit. You know, you bring that money tube in their thing. And what they said, believe Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's simple, and you can do it today. Let me say this, so after them unique circumstances, I see right here an unsuitable confidence. And I preached all day to get right here. I see an unsuitable confidence. Look over in verse 11 and 12. He gets into verse 11. Elisha has told him what he needs to do. And in verse 11, notice what the Bible says. But Naaman was wroth. Now, let me ask you something. What sense does that make? I mean, what sense does that make at all? He's mad. So the little maid girl tells him about one that's bigger than he is, and he's one that can save him. He's one that can heal him. He said, boy, I like how it sounds. I'm tired of dealing with this. He goes to the king. Silently, I need to go over the enemy territory. Find one called Elisha. He can help me with this. He can call on the God of heaven. And the king says, all right, take off. Well, then he goes over to Elisha. And Elisha gives him simple instructions on how to get right. Simple instructions on how to get healed. He's not hitting it, not putting no punches. He tells him exactly what to do. And all of a sudden, it makes him mad. Now, how much sense does that make? I mean, brother, that'd be like Brother Potts here saying, you know what, I'm 20 bucks. I need it bad. If you don't give me this $20, I'm not going to be able to eat tonight. My family's not going to eat tonight. I won't be able to pay my bills. I'm just going to be in pieces. I'm just going to be all messed up. And I said, Brother Potts, ain't no big deal. I reach in my pocket and I pull out two $10 bills. Now, my math is right, that's 20 bucks, right? I pull out two $10 bills and I walk over to him and I give it to him and he looks at me and throws it down. He said, I don't know why you didn't give me a $20 bill. Why not give me a $20 bill? Well, that's what you asked for, 20 bucks, one way or the other. It just ain't how you expected it. And see, that's Naaman's problem. He got the answer he wanted. He got it just what he needed. Hey, but friend, it wasn't like what he thought it was supposed to be. It did not happen just like he thought it was supposed to happen. And God didn't do what he thought he was supposed to do. So he got mad and walked off. You know what we call that? Pride. Naaman full of it right there. Just absolutely full of pride. Notice what he said. I thought. Now, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be rough, but I'm just going to tell it how it is, all right? God ain't concerned with what you think about it. Amen. God ain't concerned if you like the process of salvation or not. It's the process of salvation. You believe, confess, you get saved. And it's only by the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only way to go. You're not going to do it. He's not looking for your opinion on the matter. He's not looking for how you like it. Hey, that's the only way you can go. And you say, preacher, why do you bring that up? Because I've dealt with some Naamans in my life who told me this. Well, Naaman said, I wish Elisha would have come out there. I thought he was going to stand and call upon the Lord. And he's going to take his hand and wave it over me. And then he was going to heal it and everything's going to be good. He was looking for some emotional, charismatic mess. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for something to help his emotions and to make him feel good, something he can see. Hey, but God ain't interested in something that he's looking down deep inside your heart. God looking for some belief. God looking for some faith. And Naaman didn't like that. He wanted something different. Can I tell you what I've had people tell me? I'll get saved when God shows me that he's real. Well, you know, I'm going to do it when God shows me. I thought Romans 1 said creation testify the Creator. Look outside, Big Daddy. He showed you. Amen? Look up and see. Look at all that he's doing. Look at how you take a breath every day. Look how you get up out of the bed and you go and start your day up and your heart don't quit beating. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, he has shown by creation that he is a God. Matter of fact, Romans said it testifies to his eternal Godhead. Amen. He showed who he is. But what pride is it for a man to say, I need God to talk to me. I need God to do this for me. Listen, what you need to do is chuck your pride and get on your face and call out on God his way. Can I say to you today, and again, I'm not trying to be mean, but don't you listen to me. What pride is this? If I've done my study right, he's went 100 miles on horse and buggy. And all Elisha's asking him to do is go 30 more and take a bath, and he's done. That don't seem like a big deal, does it? Because I've had atheists, I've had people argue with me about that. Well, I mean, how do I know? How's that going to be enough? Because God said it was. Because that's God's plan. That's God's process. That's what he said to do. Oh, but pride. I want you to see, he gets mad to hear. And he turned and he went away rage. Can I tell you something? Y'all going to laugh at me. And if you do, just have mercy with me. But can I tell you what I've saw before? I've got up and preached the gospel. And I've watched people stub up. I've watched them cross their hands. I've watched them cross their arms. I've even had them, when I get done, stomp out the building. Yeah, man. You say, are you serious? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why? Because he's mad about the gospel. Yeah, man. I don't know what's to be mad about it. He died for you. You're saved. All you got to do is call upon him. You get eternal life. That's a pretty good deal to me. Yeah, man. But the pride that's involved in it. He goes away just full of wrath, mad, upset, full of rage, the Bible says. And you know, Proverbs tells us in verse 11 and 2 that the pride cometh and then cometh shame. Did I tell you that leprosy, like sin, would grow? It would spread? See, he could hide this thing right now. But what you going to do in 6 months? What you going to do in a year? When that sin gets to spreading and it's no longer on his chest under that armor, but it's getting up there on his hands, it's getting up here on his face, and his flesh starts to rotten and falling off. You say, that happened? Oh, yeah. Hey, but shame's coming. You know why? Hey, because he won't just submit to God. You know what shame for you? Now listen to me. What's the shame? There's a lot of Christians just not going to submit to God. It's going to cost them. Amen, friend. There's a lot of people just won't submit to God. It's going to cost them. Just because they got so much pride that they don't want something. If I was on that pew and God was ringing my bell, I wouldn't care what anybody beside me thought about it. But they worry about that. I can see it in their face. There have been times I've been preaching, and I watch them look side to side, and I know that God's dealing with them. But pride won't let them get there. And friend, shame's coming. Destruction's coming. Hard times is coming. But now I want you to notice this. In verse 13, he's done had a run-in with a faithful servant over in verse number 3. In verse number 2, that old Israelite maid there, she's done told him about the grace of God, about a God that could fix his problem. Well, he gets there. He's done everything. He walks right to him. That man of God gives him the message, the how-to, hey, to get right, amen? Brother Jonathan, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, thunders out the how to get right, amen? But he gets mad at it and he walks away. He don't like it. Ain't that he's mad at the preacher, he's mad at the Word of God. And this is what Naaman's problem is. But notice the goodness of God. He turns and went away. And one of his servants come up to him, and I'm going to put this in Wilkes County, Surrey County redneck terms. Is that all right? Sir comes up to him and says, come on now, big man. What are you doing? We've just come 100 miles on horse and buggy, and you've come to the man that you said could fix your problem. And the man that woman testified of with such conviction that it moved you to get here. And then you come here, you went 100 miles, you come here, you've showed up. He's told you exactly what to do. It's the easiest thing they are. And surely, if he told you to climb Mount Everest and do 10 backflips and carry 1,000 pounds for half a mile, you'd have done it. But all he's asked you to do was just have some faith. Can I tell you something? You may be here tonight, God ringing your bell about something, ding, 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 ding. Tell you what's happening. One servant's been telling you Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night on what you need to do. And by the grace of God, they sent another one by to say, son, you better get right. You know what to do. You better call on God by faith. You better fix what it is, whatever's between you and God, whatever you need to do. Hey, it's a simple fix, and you need to do it. Can I tell you, friend, how merciful of a God we serve? See, Brother Randy, I'm going to be honest with you. Again, pray for me, I get in the flesh. But when I take a horse to water and he don't drink, I just get upset with the horse. And this is my attitude. I'm serious. If you too dumb to drink, just sit up there and starve to death, Big Daddy, thirst to death. That's my attitude. But see, that ain't the Lord. Lord reaches down in that water, picks him up in his hand, brings it to your mouth again. So here, son, this is what you need. This is what you need. This is what you need. Oh, don't walk away. Don't go that way. How many times, you ain't never, listen to me, if you're truly saved, you ain't never walked away from God and without him saying, son, don't go that way. Honey, don't do that. Don't go that way. Oh, you better come back. You better come back. He's probably sent a man of God by, and you feel like he's preached down your road, and he's sitting on your lap. You know why? That's the mercy of God. Hey, trying to get your attention because you're about to miss the biggest blessing God's got for you, because you will just not have faith and submit to his way. And he walks away. Then I want you to see this. I see a useful compromise. Useful compromise. That old man, that servant gets up there, he rebukes him. And you know what old Naaman does right here? He says, you know what? You're right. You're right. And he chucked that pride. Listen to what the Bible said there in verse 14. After he gets rebuked there by his servant, verse 14 said this, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. Then he done it. I want you to understand that submission come right there. D.L. Moody said like this. He said he lost his temper, he lost his pride, and then he lost his leprosy. Let me say this real quick tonight. Some of y'all is holding on to some leprosy because you can't get rid of your anger and you can't get rid of your pride. You're angry. And I'll be honest with you, that's easy to do. Can I just confess, I didn't put on saying it, but I believe the Lord wants me to. You know, in January, Paul Grant was diagnosed there with type 1 diabetes. And boy, it bothered me. And it kind of just be real honest to you. I'm just going to lay it on the line. All right. First thing I thought was, that stinks. Lord, why him? God, why him? I mean, what some things he's been through, what he saw, and man, God, all we're trying to do is serve you. All we're trying to do is do your work. And it feels like I'm burning the candle at both ends trying to get done. God, why is it that you're going to do this now? I mean, Lord, the only thing he's got sometimes is just have some ice cream once in a while. Only time sometimes we got to chill out. We'll make some homemade ice cream, make a s'more. Somebody say amen, and you're going to take that from him? God, why? Why are you going to do that? Oh, I felt myself getting angry. So now, come on now. You've been there too. I felt myself getting upset about some things until God really had to remind me, boy, you better shut your mouth and realize how good I've been to you, and he ain't dead. Hey, I'm still on the throne. I've still been good to you. But listen to me, friend. Hey, you're going to miss it worrying about the situation you're in. You know why I got the feeling that way? Let me help you. You ready? Listen, this is deep. You ready? Pride. You better deal with that. I'm going to tell you what I found out, Brother Randy. I'm not perfect. Don't take it that way. Please don't. But I found out when I realized that God's still in control, even with type 1 diabetes, it'll be all right. What I found out is I just keep serving God anyway. Did I tell you that I got to lead him to the Lord this Sunday? Did I tell you I got to lead him to the Lord? Hey, just Sunday morning. I'm talking about, yeah, you just keep serving God. Hey, you just stick in there, submit. Don't get mad at God. Just do, hey, what God's called you to do. And there's going to come a time, and if you'll just fall down, ask God to take it. So I'm telling you, there's a blessing on the other end of it. If you'll just do it. He submits. He comes back, and he does the exact thing that Elisha told him to do. Can I help you right here a minute? He didn't ask Elisha to change, and Elisha wasn't going to change. The word from God was the word from God. Hit Jordan 7 times, be clean. Listen to me. Call upon the Lord and you shall be saved. You've walked away from God. Now if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just forgive our sins to cleanse you of what? All unrighteousness. That's still the way. Confession, submission. That's still the way of God. I see, friend, a useful compliance. You start getting compliant with the things of God, friend, he'll start helping you. Is that all right? Let me give you one more, and I'm going to close. Matter of fact, I'm going to be super quick. If you want to start playing, that'd be great. I see a upheld commitment. Know what I find out right there? In the verse 14, he done exactly what the man of God told him to do, and the word of God was fulfilled in his life. As soon as he submitted and done what God told him to do, you know what I found out? God held up his end of the deal. Can I remind you in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible said that God cannot lie. In Hebrews 6 verse 18, he can't lie. He's bound by his righteousness. He's bound by his word. If he ever said, "Thou shalt, whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," you listen to me. If you call and you get put your heart into it and you do your part, he will save you. But I got good news, friend. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. And if you will confess your sin, hey, and you will, friend, come to him, he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The commitment of it here. Can I say this evening, tonight, you may be sitting right here thinking, God, you've been wanting me to do this. God's been wanting me to do that. I'm just not going to do it that way. I'm just not going to go about that way. I'm just not going to go. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to chuck your anger, chuck your pride, and get that leprosy taken care of. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I don't know what your leprosy is. Leprosy is a great picture of sin. Let me tell you what that one of the greatest sins is. That's rebellion. The Bible said rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And if God's ever asked you to do something and you hadn't immediately said, yes, sir, and stepped out, we've rebelled. We've rebelled. You know what Naaman done right there? He went to the man of God. He got exactly what he needed to get, the right answer. But he got mad and rebelled. But boy, when he got right, there was an upheld commitment. Tonight, listen, I'm telling you, I'm closing right here. Tonight, whatever you're dealing with in your life, whatever you're struggling with, if you'll just chuck that pride and put it right there on that altar, God uphold his side of it. God will uphold the commitment that he made. Can I tell you something? He's bound by this right here. That's his word. And when he says, I'll forgive you, I'll use you. What he means is, I'll forgive you and I'll use you. When he says, I'll save you, what he means is, I'll save you. I'm going to ask you.